Welcome everyone into the very first episode of the first ever Retro Achievement Podcast. I am Draco655 and today, June 27th, I will present you this Retro Achievement Podcast. The goal of Retro Achievement Podcast would be to talk about every single aspect of Retro Achievement website. News, tips, games, members, even dev, and probably guests in the futures. We have such a strong passion about this website, and we want to share that with the rest of the community and even helping them in returns. The segment we're going to discuss today will be how we discover Aure, what we play this week, or even favorite moment, and the biggest topic for today, the childhood memories. But I cannot do this without myself, so let me introduce my two great partners. I will share this passion. First off, Shoot.
My name is Shoot. Hello. I've played on Retro Achievements for a little over 3 years. My favorite system is the Game Boy. My favorite type of games are probably fighting games and 3D platformers.
And then my other person is Bendy Human.
Hey, it's me, Bendy. So I joined Retro Achievements a little over 3 years ago, and I grew up with Nintendo, and Retro Achievements has been an awesome way for me to revisit a bunch of my childhood classics. I am so excited to talk about this more with you guys.
So thanks both of you to be there with me, and let's start it. So how we discover Aure? Who want to be first?
I guess I'll go first. So for Retro Achievements, I think it was about 3 years ago, a YouTube channel that I follow was learning about how to put together a Raspberry Pi and to put Emulation Station onto it, which is a front end to launch a bunch of different emulators, play a bunch of different games. And so one of the other videos on the YouTube channel that I found out about was Retro Achievements. And so I thought it was really, really cool. I looked into it and set it up. And I've been playing ever since. When that first yellow text pop-up came up that you earned an achievement, got excited, and I've been addicted ever since.
That's awesome, Shoot, that you had that experience with building a Raspberry Pi. I can't say I've ever done anything like that. My story is a little bit more simple. So I've always loved the idea of achievements, but I never really owned any Xbox or PlayStation consoles. My platform of choice was Steam Achievements for a long time. And then eventually it got to the point where I was sort of addicted to Steam Achievements. It got to the point where I was buying really bad games for really cheap just for achievements. And I had this moment of realization that this is stupid. What am I doing? So one day I thought to myself, you know, I really liked the games I played as a kid. I want to go back to the retro games. I wonder if there's some forum or something out there where people post little challenges, little achievement style challenges for you to complete in retro games. So I kid you not, one day I Googled the words retro achievements. I didn't know what I was getting into, but I just typed that into Google, retro achievements, expecting to find some sort of forum or something. And then I ended up being totally surprised finding this whole community with achievements built into the emulators and everything. And the rest is history. It's been a little over 3 years now, and it's been a great time.
Wow, that's awesome, Bendy. But for my own experience, that's a totally different one. So pretty much right now it's like almost 2 years I'm playing into Aure. But before that, I was ex-competitive Mario Kart 8 players, which I played for pretty much like 2 years. And I got even into like the top world team to play for Team Canada, which I'm very proud about. And then I passed to some Mario Kart 8 speedrun after it for probably maybe like 8 months. And then I realized one day, I was pretty much like desperate because every single day I was just grinding for better times. I got many war worker into those time. And then I was very depressed. And my girlfriend, actually, that's my girlfriend. I don't know how she came up with this, but she told me, hey, you should try Retro Achievement. I was like, Are you kidding me? I don't know. I didn't know what to say about this time. And then I trust her, and I just decided to go check out the website. And then I just in secretly download the emulators, and I play Mario Kart 64. And then after the very first Mushroom Cups, I saw the pop-up first. I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. This does have a sound. How does it track the achievement there? I was so amazed. And then maybe after a day, she just said, like, are you playing Retro Achievement? Yeah, maybe. And then that's changed in my entire way to see into this. And since almost 2 years now, I'm very addicted to it.
I really like, Draco, that you pointed out how when you first discovered Retro Achievements, when that first achievement popped, you had that feeling of, wow, this is amazing. Because honestly, I had that exact same feeling too. I don't remember what the first game I played on RA was, but I do remember that feeling of the first achievement popping. It was almost like a realization that when I first found Retro Achievements, I had this idea of, this kind of sounds too good to be true. This can't really be, this can't work how they say it works, right? But when that first achievement popped up, yeah, it's really that feeling of, wow, this actually works. This is amazing.
Yeah, and speaking on that as well, I remember setting it up. It was as easy as, you know, there's just an option in the back end for Raspberry Pi to just enable Retro Achievements or whatever, or to add one line to like your text config file that's just your username for Retro Achievements, and then it just worked. So it was really cool to see that yellow text pop up for the first time. I remember that on the first set I played a long time ago.
So let's say, how did you discover the community now? Do you have any how it's for everyone? How do you discover this wonderful community?
You know, I have an interesting story there. So when I first started playing Retro Achievements, for a really long period of time, probably a year and a half or more, I wasn't really part of the community. I would play the games, and it was very much a solo single player affair. And I think the community is honestly such a big part of what makes Retro Achievement special. I reached a point after a while where I saw there was a Discord, and I thought, well, maybe I could join the Discord. I don't know. I don't really do the whole Discord thing, but I wanted to introduce some more social aspects into my gaming. And I think that has been such a good decision for me, because honestly, I have made so many friends through Retro Achievements. This has been such a cool experience, just meeting people who share my passion. I've never had that experience before, and it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, for the community, for a long time, I just kind of played Retro Achievements, and I didn't pay much mind to what anyone else was doing other than looking at new sets that were coming out and keeping up with stuff like that. But once I started watching, there are a lot of people that stream Retro Achievements. It's just really fun to be able to see people play the same sets that you played and struggle and go through some of those challenges and overcome them, or to just see people playing Retro Achievements in general when you're not streaming and be able to relax and play a game while watching somebody else play a game as well. And it's just a cool feeling to be able to share that with other people. So especially when, like I said, you see somebody playing the same set that you've played and going through some of those same interesting challenges that you've had, you kind of have a shared moment almost.
For me, I think I spent like probably like Bendy, maybe like off people for maybe a couple of months. I was running into like my own games. I was like, oh my god, I was so addicted to the leaderboards. I just wanted to like grind. And then I did not expect to master like a lot of games, but I really enjoyed that feeling. And then I think I just saw like the Discord. I was like, maybe people don't want to talk to me. I don't know. I was just a little bit scared. And then probably I just jumped there, and I make so many friends there. And I think the first person who I ever talked that much was Pori. And Pori was one of my biggest friends for now into RA, because he teach me how and he teach me how to dev in a ways. He talk with me like every single day. It's very fun to have like so many good friends, and I'm very well around with a lot of friends in 2 hours. So that's very, very fantastic.
Yeah, I remember when I was going through that period of time where I wasn't sure if I wanted to engage more with the community or join the Discord or anything like that. I was a little nervous at first. Like I was not the most socially outgoing person, to be honest with you guys. But this community has been so welcoming, and I am just so thankful that I have discovered it. It's great. It's really a great thing.
So one thing I'm very interested in, and this is the second topic of today, what we have played or what funny moment do you have, your favorite moment of this week?
Yeah, I suppose I could start us off here.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I played quite a wide variety of games this week, but the first one I wanted to talk about with you guys is Donkey Kong 94 on the Game Boy. Or I guess it's just called Donkey Kong, but people call it Donkey Kong 94. So if anybody is not familiar with this game, basically what it is it's a puzzle platformer. In each level, you need to find a key and get to the door, which sounds pretty simple, right? You play as Mario, you got some nice acrobatic moves at your disposal, and you got to defeat Donkey Kong. And what this game is... I don't want to call it a hidden gem because I feel like people know about it, but I feel like it doesn't really get the attention it deserves. And I feel like Retro Achievements has really made me look at this game in a new way. This game just recently got a big set revision, and it added some really cool new stuff that made me play the game in ways that I've never played it before. There are these speedrun achievements that are incredibly challenging, pretty tight times. And then there are also these achievements where you have to collect all of Pauline's items in every level. And that's one of the things I love about retro achievements, when achievement sets get me to play games in new ways that I haven't played before.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And that set, I also had the opportunity to play through that whole set and had a lot of fun with it, like you said. The times are decently tight on some of the different stages, but overall, it was a lot of fun. I'm not a great speedrunner by any means, but I have a bit of a history with that game because that is the first game I mastered on Retro Achievements when the original set was out. So I almost felt compelled to do it in a way. And it gets you to essentially, like you said, play through the game in two different unique ways that you would never do previously. So I know for sure I never collected all of Pauline's items as a kid in every single stage because some of them were just a pain in the butt. So
I think one of the things we should mention for people who aren't familiar with the set, one thing I think is fascinating about these speedrun achievements is, okay, they're speedrun achievements. We've seen speedrun achievements in lots of games before, right? But what's unique about these is it's a speedrun across a series of four levels. So these are four standalone levels, and then it adds up the sum of your time across each of these four levels. And there's actually fascinating strategy that goes into this, because sometimes I would end the series of four levels and I would realize, okay, I need to save like 5 or 10 seconds. And then I have to think about it and strategize, well, where did I lose time? Which level has the most room for improvement? And it's just, it's really a completely new way of thinking about this awesome game that I've never played it like this before.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had to do as well, as, you know, get to the end, see how my times were and say, okay, where can I shave off 5 seconds? What level did I do the worst on? What level did I do the best on where there's no hope of shaving time? And then obviously, because of the game gives you a lot of extra lives, and each stage is taken individually. So if you mess up and you don't get a good time on that stage, if you have plenty of lives, you can die and try again on that stage, and it doesn't count against your total time as long as you keep trying and you have the sufficient lives to do so. So
for me, this week is I have made like a top five of the game I have played this week. So the first one I have played was Super DGR World Into the Super NES by the set made by Sky Star Mania. So this is pretty much like, if you never played this one, it's pretty much a little Kaizo, I would say. The level are super like unique on its own. You can go into some Mega Man stage, a Sonic stage, and you have a couple like different aspect of many different games into one, a couple of Kaizo game. And the music of this is pretty great. And the entire set is pretty much complete, pretty much entire game. And the set is pretty well made by Sky, so good job on that one. So the other game I have played was Tekken 3 on PlayStation 1 by GP Lima. That one, oh boy. This one is, by the way, I'm not very good at fighting game. I can adapt well, but this one was a unique surprise for me, and I really enjoyed the set. Very well made by GP. So it's pretty much like a fighting game on its own, like Mortal Kombat styles, and you do your best. So a very fun set. I think the other one I want to talk is the Yoshi Island DS by Cherry Birkin. This one, I pretty for me, I think this one is the hype of this week. It's just a new set from this week. I never experienced. I have played the Super Nintendo one and the other one into Yoshi Island, but I never experienced one, the DS one. And this one is almost like similar to the Super Nintendo one, but this Yoshi DS game have babies changing, so you can go for, I think you can go for a Peach, baby Peach, baby Luigi's, and maybe even more. So I'm still into that set right now, but so far the set is amazing, the artwork is amazing, everything is amazing by this set. Well done, Cherry. So the my fourth game will be the YS3 Wanderers from YS Super Nintendo. So this one is a set by Ryu Cypher. So this is pretty much, I was very surprised because I never played this game before, and I saw a couple of friends play it, and I was like, oh, maybe I should try it. I should give it a go. So this is pretty much a game where you play as a warrior almost, as a character, and you can level up. You can go for dungeons, and you gain some goals, and you can buy some equipment. So this is pretty much like beat bosses and just collect items. So the game is pretty good. The soundtrack is amazing. So that's another good set right there. And the last one I have played was pretty much the same style as the YS tree, was Kadash. So Kadash is on Mega Drive, and the set is made by Tutoya. So pretty good game. A pretty good game. You can play as a warrior or a mage. My playthrough with a warrior was more easier than the mage, but if you find a little bit a grind spot, so you have like the monster can appear like many times, so you just grind a little bit and you would be fine for the entire games. But the game is amazing, and I cannot believe how the difference into the warrior and the mage was totally different. So that was pretty much my game of the week, guys.
You know, Draco, it's pretty cool to hear that you're experiencing Yoshi's Island DS for the first time. I actually had that game back in the day, back when it was new on the DS. And I'm looking forward to revisiting it because that's a game I haven't played really since it was new. I remember back in the day, during that time, I used to go online and read a lot of forums and stuff. And I got kind of a weird I got kind of weird vibes about that game because I remember a lot of people talked real negatively about it, and I feel like I let that influence my opinion on that game. So I'm looking forward to playing it again now with a more open mind, and when I haven't played it in so long, and seeing how it goes this time around.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see what sets you guys choose to do next. For Draco, I know that, fighting games obviously aren't your strength, but it was fun to watch you play through Tekken because I have played through all of the Tekkens, and they've got some interesting challenges with them. And speaking of fighting games, that actually kind of brought me back to thinking about earlier this week. I got a chance to do a couple of other fighting game sets by Cherry Birkin, both very fun sets. I got to do Pocket Fighters, and I got to do Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of the Superheroes for PS1, and Pocket Fighters is also for PS1. So I guess starting off with Marvel vs. Capcom Clash of the Superheroes, one of the things that I like most about that game is just the art style. It's one of those games where you're getting, 40, 50, 60 hit combos, and it's just the animation is big and loud and there's lots of stuff flying everywhere and it's just really, really fun. I remember as a kid at the arcade, we would always see like that game and I had no idea what I was doing as a kid. I would just hit the, you know, as many buttons as possible and just jiggle the fight stick. But that was a really fun set to play through, to try and get the high combos with all the characters. There was, you know, basic playthrough with all the characters, get all the combos. Style was most of the achievements, but that was a really, really fun set. And I enjoyed that one a lot. Pocket Fighters was definitely a little bit different and interesting to play through because there's a very unique mechanic with that game that is just like a regular fighting game, except both of the characters have red, blue, and yellow gems. And those gems empower your specials. And the way that you get gems is by hitting the other fighters, doing just regular attacks on them and comboing them, and then they drop gems. And there's also a gem chest that drops at the start. So it's kind of interesting because it's a fighting game, but you have to still be strategic. And whoever, you know, essentially is taking all the gems typically is the winner because they empower all of your special abilities so that you can just do a lot more damage. So it was really, really interesting to play through that. There was definitely some challenging achievements with that set, so I'm surprised that I managed to get through it all. But I had a really good time with that, and I got to learn a lot about a fighting game that I had never touched before. And also, I really liked that mechanic because most fighting games, pretty much all fighting games, are just fight, and that's it. Sometimes there's some unique mechanics or things mixed in, but with old fighting games, they're almost all universally follow, you know, just basic rules. So it was really interesting to play that game that had some unique twists on it and kind of try and figure out how can I be strategic about this and how can I get through some of these tougher achievements on that set.
You know, it's really cool listening to the two of you talk about fighting games, because here we have Shoot, who has a background of playing fighting games, and then we have Draco, who doesn't really play fighting games and is just now getting into them. It almost reminds me of like a mentor and student relationship sort of thing, and it's making me even want to play more fighting games, because that's a genre that I mostly avoided. But another game I played this week that I've been wanting to talk about with you guys is, it's called Antarctic Adventure on the NES. And it is just this really cute and delightful little game. Basically, you play as this little penguin dude. It's by Konami. You play as this little penguin dude. He's always running forward. And the camera is like behind his back, you know? And you're just dodging obstacles that come your way. You're jumping over these little cracks in the ground, these little ice pits. There are these little seals who poke their head out of the ground. And honestly, it's a really simple game. It almost reminds me of Atari in terms of simplicity. But it's, I don't know, there's something about it. I didn't even know about this game before this week. I just stumbled upon it. And it's just a really delightful little arcade-style, addictive little game. And I'm really glad I discovered it. That's honestly one of my favorite things about retro achievements. When I discover games that I didn't really know about, and then I end up really enjoying them.
So I think, So I think we're going to have the biggest moment into the segment, which I'm very interested about, the childhood memory. I mean, I have a lot of childhood memory. Who want to be first on this one?
Ben, do you want to start?
Sure, I could start us off. So it's difficult to know where to begin because I just have so many stories from my childhood, but I guess I could start with a general overview of what my childhood looked like. I was a Nintendo kid through and through. I got every Nintendo console, every Nintendo handheld. I subscribed to Nintendo Power Magazine. I was that guy. I was the Nintendo fanboy. I was the guy who would get all invested in the console wars, and I would see my friends play games that aren't Nintendo, and I would just think in my head, why would you play games that aren't Nintendo? Nintendo is the best. But I think that upbringing has had a really big influence on the types of games I play today. I've noticed that even on retro achievements, I tend to not how do I put this? I tend to not stray too far from the types of games I played as a kid. For example, I played a lot of platformers as a kid. I play a lot of platformers these days on RA. I didn't really play fighting games as a kid. I don't really play fighting games these days on RA. So I feel like my Nintendo upbringing has really shaped the kinds of games I play these days.
I'm very happy you mentioned that, Mr. Bendy, because my childhood is almost maybe similar than yours, because I'm really a Nintendo fan as well. I mean, I love Nintendo. I think I grew up with every like Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, Super Nintendo, NES, every console of Nintendo I've made. And I'm very surprised of how much time I have spent with my Game Boy games. I think I have played like Super Mario Land, Super Mario Land 2. I have played like Pokemon. I mean, Pokemon was a really big thing in my when I was a kid. I was playing with my friends. I was playing myself. I spent so much time just grinding my little Pokemon and stuff. And Mario is just another level for me. It's just like, it's my number one character fans. And I just like enjoy Mario in general. It was really a fun moment. So, and I don't know if I have a Game Boy before my Super Nintendo, but I remember a story when I saw my dad present me maybe my first console. I'm pretty sure it was Super Nintendo or NES. I don't know. It's quite a long time. But I know my dad have bought the Super Mario World into Super NES, or it was Mario Bros. 1. I don't remember which one, but those two moments just sharing with my dad, I think it would always stick into my head. But that was so many good moments there.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, we pretty much grew up on Game Boy games, so I have, that's probably why now as an adult, I still love them, and they're probably my favorite games. I think if I was to go through all the games I played on Retro Achievements, I'd say at least maybe 30%, maybe more of them are Game Boy games. And similar to you guys, yeah, I grew up with the Mario Lands, Pokemon as well. I think Draco knows a lot more about Pokemon than I do as far as the in-depth stuff. But yeah, we grew up with the Pokemon games. The Marios had like Tetris. That was one of the most popular games for Game Boy. A lot of good memories. The Final Fantasies for Game Boy have a pretty big place in my heart. A lot of road trips and things like that, just playing through those. Even now, I haven't been on a flight in quite some time, but anytime I would go on a flight, I would always play through one of the Final Fantasy games, because they're just nice and chill, and they do take a while to complete. So I have a pretty shared history there as far as Mario being one of the big staples of my childhood, I would say.
You know, it's interesting. Even though I had this Nintendo upbringing, I feel like Retro Achievements has finally given me the chance as an adult to kind of branch out from that a little bit. So, for example, on Retro Achievements, we have Sega Genesis games, we have Sony PlayStation games, and these are games that I never really played before discovering RA, and I don't really know why. I guess for the longest time, whenever I wanted to play retro games, I just stuck with what I grew up on. But I feel like there's just something about having achievements that has really pushed me to finally start to branch out a little more, and it's been so cool discovering these entire corners of gaming history that I've just ignored until now.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good point. One of the most interesting things about Retro Achievements, or at least I think for myself, and I think for a lot of people, is, you know, it really depends on what your goal is on Retro Achievements. You know, are you there to play the games that you grew up with and have fun? Are you going for trying to be a little more competitive because it is ranked a little bit? So I know when I first started on Retro Achievements, I played through a lot of the games that I grew up with and then started to focus a little bit more on rank and things like that. But one of the things that's cool about doing that is that you get to, like you said, experiment with other sets, put yourself into games that you've never played before. And a lot of the time you end up just really liking the game. You know, you end up really liking to focus on it for the points, but at the end of the day you end up liking it and you get the points. So it's just kind of a cool feeling to branch out into new games and discover new sets on Retro Achievements.
I have an interesting story to share with all of you guys. I have, so when I grew up a little bit more, I made like a friend where I started to play like fighting games with him, but not too much. But one type of game I really enjoyed at the time was almost like Naruto. So Naruto Shippuden into Xbox, I think it was Xbox, yeah, pretty much. And then, so he told me like, hey, do you want to play with me at this game? So I'm like, sure, I never play it. And then I was just digging into this game. Like, it was pretty easy to pick up. And it was just very fun to play with. And here's the twist about this one is after I was feeling pretty alone and I wanted to just make the game more perfect because it's like every time I play a game, I always go hard. So I bought for maybe like a day or two, I bought an Xbox 360 into a store and I take the game with it. And then I said to one of my other friends, like, do you want to play with me? Because you're going to play this alone. So I play with him and I try to find every single aspect details, how to block every single character, what they do. And I was just like, almost like putting, okay, this is good. This is not good. How I can change the game into that way. And I was so addicted. And this is pretty much me of how I evaluate every single aspect of a game, and I do that on every single game I play. So maybe a couple of days after I got my insane practice there, I go to my friend and I was like, you want to pick this? Okay, it's fine. I'm going to pick almost like the weakness characters, and I just make the character looking so good and so, yeah, so good. And he didn't even want to play with me after it. So this is pretty much me into a competitive level where I'm just generally like liking it, but my friend didn't want to play with me anymore. And still today, even I did not play for so long, I just remember all those little details I practiced on. And it's like, okay, man, do we just play another one? So that's pretty much my a little story there.
I think it's cool, Draco, that you were so competitive from such a young age, because I've seen you on Retro Achievements these days, and I've seen how competitive you are with chasing after points, getting your rank up higher and higher. And I think it's funny to imagine a little kid Draco compared to adult Draco, and it's like, he hasn't really changed that much. But honestly, I was the same way. I was a pretty competitive kid when I'd have those local multiplayer get-togethers with my buddies. I remember Mario Kart was always a favorite of ours. We liked Mario Kart and we liked Mario Party. It was Mario Party 3 was the one that we would play. And it was funny because obviously I was the one who owned the games, so I was the one who had the most experience in them, so I was the one who was probably going to win. But even then, I was so competitive. I would always give it my all. I wasn't the type to let my friends win. I wasn't the type to go easy on them. I would always give it my all every single time we played, and it was always a competitive thing. And for some reason, I didn't lose any friends. They still wanted to play games with me somehow, so I guess I was doing something right.
Yeah, speaking of that, there was always that friend that you would go over to their house and they would just be better than you because they own the game, right? They had access to the game daily and you didn't. So there was always that friend where, you know, you'd go over and you'd play multiplayer and they would just wipe the floor with you. And eventually, you know, after you went over to their house enough times, you'd be able to kind of get on their level. But yeah, I have some good memories of growing up, going to a friend's house or them coming over, and we do Mario Party, or we played Mortal Kombat Trilogy was a big one for the N64, and having a lot of fun with that. Or, you know, with the single player, having that friend who knew what to do, because back when we were really young, the internet wasn't like it is now where you could just get all the answers. It was in a much earlier stage where, you know, there wasn't a YouTube video to solve everything. There wasn't a solution to everything. You kind of had to figure things out on your own a little bit more. And it's kind of a double-edged sword because there's a lot of efficiency to that, to being able to just look something up and the answer is right there for you. But for video games, you know, it loses, I guess it takes away a little bit of the charm. So that's kind of why when I play through a lot of these games initially, I usually like to do it blind, but it depends on the game. A lot of the times I will look up stuff if it's just, not efficient for timing's sake. But it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of a double-edged sword with games losing a little bit of their charm when all of the information that you need is readily available at your fingertips if you just search for a YouTube video. So
Yeah, I'm very happy you talk about Mario Kart. I mean, I have another interesting story. So basically, I think I did own an N64, but I never buy. Maybe a couple of months. I did not buy the game on its own. I was playing into another friend, which I have many friends apparently. So I go into his house again, and I think every single day he said like, "Do you want to go to my house and just play Mario Kart?" And we just played. We play Mario Kart together, and we play like into a next level again, like very competitive wise, and we just like having fun to just like try to beat each other. It was almost like a rivalry situation where we try to like you want to be better than your friends, but at the same time, like you mentioned, the owners of the game is almost better than you. But yeah, I really love this this type of energy where you have a friend where you can play with your friends, and then you try to do your best of your own performance to make your skills a little bit higher. But at the same time, it's like a good fighting situation on both sides.
I think some of the most fun I had with friends playing Mario Kart was playing Mario Kart 64's Battle Mode. I don't know if you guys have memories of that as well, but I have so many fond memories. Battle Mode was that mode that you could always play and you never knew who would win. Like, if you're playing the race, okay, the best player would probably win most of the time. But Battle Mode is just this insane free-for-all. So, for anyone who's listening who isn't familiar with it, basically how Battle Mode works is you have these tracks that are, they're not normal tracks, they're smaller and they're more kind of a circle, or they're not so open-ended. It's not like a forward track, and you have three balloons on your cart. If you throw an item at another player, they lose a balloon, and the goal is to be the last man standing. So basically, you end up in this insane situation where you have green shells flying all over the place, bananas all over the place, and it's just absolute chaos trying not to get hit, and it's so much fun. I love Battle Mode right so much. Just thinking about it right now is making me want to boot up my old N64, get some friends together and play it. It is the best.
Yeah, I definitely played the battle mode growing up and have some good memories of that. And I think there's like four different stages that you can do battle mode in, and that is definitely one of the games where I'd go to friend's house and we'd play a lot of battle mode. And speaking of racing games, Diddy Kong Racing had some battle modes as well, I think, if I recall. That was also pretty fun. I think we mostly focused on the racing aspect for that one, but yeah, the battle modes in Mario Kart 64 were always a lot of fun and always really interesting to see who would win at the end, just because of the number of items and strategies and things that people would always try.
Yeah, but for me, I'm sorry to bring your hope or your dream about Mario Kart Battle Mode. I think I play a little bit, but when I was younger, I found a little strategy on my own, and yeah, pretty much nobody wanted to play with me into this mode because every time I was just running like a horse, and I was just trying to carry some good items like triple reds, and then I just stick behind my friends, and I was just shooting one at a time a reds, and they just insta die. So I did not very experiment that much because it's like, yeah, the red is too much OP. So basically that. But the other memories I want to bring is GameCube. Oh my God, GameCube was into my for a long time part of my childhood. I mean, I remember the day when my mom buy Mario Sunshine. That was my first game ever into GameCube. And she did not really understand that much the game, sadly. But I pick up like every single day, I would just pick Sunshine. I try to like I mentioned, like find all the twists. Sunshine was such a good other game in my into my childhood games. And every other games like I think I play like every single Mario Party as well. Every Mario Kart I play as well. But GameCube was very one of my favorite console I think ever made for Melee's, Marco Double Dash, Paper Mario. I have a insanely good moments with this console. I mean, I want to talk about everything right now.
You know, Draco, when you mentioned Sunshine, I can just feel the memories flooding back because the 3D Mario games were some of my all-time favorites. So the thing about me and my childhood is I didn't have a lot of games, but those few games that I had, I would play over and over and over and over and over. I was a completionist. I always wanted to do everything in the game. And then after I did everything in the game, I would try to develop new little personal challenges to defeat. And I almost feel like that's what led me into loving retro achievements, because even as a kid, I was making up my own little achievement style challenges. And what got me on this topic in the first place is I'm thinking about Super Mario 64. I'm thinking about Super Mario Sunshine. That style of game lends itself so well to making up your own little challenges. Just the way that Mario controls is. It's just fun to walk around in that game. Like, even if you don't have any objectives, even if you're not going for the stars or the shines, even if you're just messing around, it's fun to just run and jump and side flip and squirt water and long jump and all of that stuff. And I feel like that's the type of game that really lends itself best to how can I push this game to its limits? How can I have fun with this game even when I've already beat this game before?
Yeah, and for me, I didn't have a GameCube growing up, but we had the N64, like I said. So I know that Super Mario 64 was a pretty big step up from the Game Boy games in terms of like the amount of stuff there was to do and all this, and trying to figure out how to get certain stars as a kid just stumped me some of the time, especially because there wasn't a lot of information out there. I know there was guides and stuff like that, like physical paper guides. I remember going to a friend's house and he had the Japanese version of the game. And he had like a Japanese guide, and it had like all these like pictures and little things in it. But yeah, figuring out some of the different stars in Super Mario 64 as a kid was definitely a challenge, especially because you just didn't know. You know, you couldn't figure things out because there wasn't that much stuff out there about what to do. So.
I can actually remember the first time I played Super Mario 64, and it's kind of a weird story. So, the dentist that I went to as a kid had a Nintendo 64 set up in like the waiting area. So, while you're waiting to be called in, to get your dental work done, you could play the N64 while you're waiting. And that was the first time I'd played an N64. That was the first time I'd played any 3D console. In fact, I hadn't even played a Super Nintendo before that. The only experience I had with gaming before that was the NES and I think the Game Boy or Game Boy Color. So I have this memory of me at the dentist's office of all places, playing Mario 64, just absolutely blown away by this video games can do this? This is amazing. And, the dentist calling me, it's time to, get your dental work done. And I'm like, oh, I want to keep playing just one more level. And I just think that is the most wild way to be introduced to a game. I love it.
What a nice story there, Bendy. But I want to talk about something else. Did you, it's like, except Nintendo? I know I think we are pretty much three nerd into pretty much like Super Nintendo fanboy, but did you ever play like some PlayStations, like PS1 or PS2? I know for me, lucky for me, my mom, against my lovely mom, just buy, I think she buy PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2. This is pretty much the only introduction I got into PlayStation, to be honest. But one, the first game I play, or yeah, the first game I play is Need for Speed Underground, the first one and the second one. So those game are both a racing game, which I love racing game like way too much. But those game, it's phenomenal how I enjoy it. And the other aspect of PlayStation I want to bring is Spyro games. Spyro 1, 2, and 3. Those game, my mom is in love with those, and it just brings me so much memory when I just like going back into RE, play those nicely Spyro games. I mean, those sets, it's just a blast to play it. I'm very glad Stefan made it. I mean, this is like my mom. I think my mom saw me play the game. She was so happy to just see me play Spyro. I mean, Spyro, it's just a little cute dragon. It's so cute. It's just so fun. You just find gems. You're doing some stages. I mean, I love platformer, but Spyro, oh my God, that was such a blast to redo those stuff.
You know, I never owned any PlayStation consoles growing up, but I had a cousin I would visit sometimes who had a PS1 and then later a PS2. And my biggest memory of going over there is he really liked the Tony Hawk games. And he would show me those games, and he was the kind of guy who he knew the game inside and out. He knew all the secrets. He could pull off all the tricks. And I remember watching him play Tony Hawk and just being absolutely amazed. Like, wow, this guy is my idol. He is so good at video games. And then he would pass me the controller and let me try to play. And obviously, I'm playing this game for the first time. I've never even held a PlayStation controller before. And I just have no idea what I'm doing. I feel like the controls are just incomprehensible. And I feel like him letting me play the game for a few minutes, just it really blew up in my head this idea that, wow, my cousin is so amazing at video games. I wish I could be that good at video games someday.
Yeah, for me, we didn't have a PlayStation, but we did have a friend who had a PlayStation, and that was, I think, I'm 99% sure the first game that we ever played for PlayStation was Tekken 3. So I have some good memories there. We used to do like King of the Hill style, where whoever, you know, there'd be a bunch of people over, and whoever would lose would step down. Then the next person in line would take on the winner of that game, and the winner would continue to play until they lost, and so on and so forth, and just pass the controller off or whatever. So that was always a really good time growing up, when we would have like King of the Hill, not like tournaments or anything, but just King of the Hill style, where the person who won would just continue to hold the controller, and people would continue to step up to challenge that person.
So another fact I want to mention here for childhood memories, what is like your type of video games do you like the most time video game example, like maybe racing? Like for me, give me like a top three of your most, with the games of their most unique type you like. For me, it would be, first would be racing, obviously, and for Mario Kart. I mean, I spend way too much time into Mario Kart in my life. Like, you have no idea how much I spend entire like Mario Kart series. So for me, that's my most first one. I think the second one would be probably like platforming styles. I really like Spyros in general. Like Spyros, it's a good example of platforming. Like just like having a stage where you collect stuff, finish. That's that. And my last one would be, I'm pretty sure, like RPGs. I know I don't put RPG a lot into my top spot. I consider like Paper Mario. I think pretty sure like Paper Mario would be into my top three. So Paper Mario to GameCube changed my entire, I was just blown away by these amazing games and how everything is done there. So what I'm curious to see your thoughts into your top three, guys.
Draco, I was sitting here thinking about the most influential games for me as a kid, and one of the first ones that came to mind for me was Paper Mario, so I'm glad that you mentioned it as well. If I had to list top three genres, I think number one would have to be, and it'd have to be the 3D platformers, especially Mario. Just those were such a big influence on me growing up. Number two would probably be Zelda-style, like, action-adventure type games. I guess they're not... Zelda's not an RPG, right? Zelda's not an RPG. I would consider it like an action-adventure kind of game. And then for third, yeah, I'd have to go with RPGs, and Paper Mario was the big one for me. As much as I love GameCube Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, I have such fond memories of the first one on N64, and I know it's just the nostalgia talking, but Paper Mario 64 is one of those games that... it's probably one of my most replayed games of all time. There's just something special about that game where I could play it over and over and over, and it never gets old. And one of the cool things about retro achievements is it's actually allowed me to replay Paper Mario in new ways. For one, I've been able to play Paper Mario with achievements, which has been an awesome new experience. But also, there's a couple of hacks of Paper Mario on retro achievements. And that has given me the opportunity to play like Paper Mario with a twist, an entire new take on Paper Mario, which has just been, it's just been amazing. If childhood me knew that I'd be able to play a Paper Mario hack someday, he would just be over the moon excited.
Yeah, I think for me, for my top three, I think RPGs and 3D platformers are probably a pretty close tie. 3D platformers coming out a little bit ahead, because I grew up with like Banjo-Kazooie was a big one, and the set on RA for that is fantastic as well. Really, really fun game. I probably played that game like half a dozen times at least over the years, and I always have had a lot of fun with that. And Super Mario 64 as well. For RPGs, though, it really goes back to Final Fantasy Legend 1, 2, and 3 for Game Boy. I have a really big history with those games. I played them a ton growing up, beaten all of them, and played them many times over the years. Had a lot of fun with the sets and discovered a lot of unique things about the games that I didn't even know as a kid. But having to go through that... So I would say, yeah, the Final Fantasy Legends for me, all for Game Boy. Technically, they're not Final Fantasy. In Japanese, they're like Saga, no Densetsu or something like that. But there's Final Fantasy as any Final Fantasy gets. You know, they're turn-based RPGs. They've got quirky little mechanics in them, and they're just a lot of fun. And they're all quite lengthy, so they do take some time to beat. So I have a lot of good memories growing up with those. For number three, it's probably fighting games. I've had a lot of fighting games growing up that were a lot of fun. Like I mentioned, the Mortal Kombat trilogy game was a lot of fun. I think that one just really, the thing that drew me in about Mortal Kombat trilogy is there were so many characters to select in that game. They just put like every character plus some secret characters too, but there's like 30 something odd characters that you could select, which at the time was pretty crazy for a fighting game. I feel like I don't think a lot of other games were doing that. There was like most fighting games, like, you know, 10 maybe 15 characters. I guess Tekken was still kind of doing that, but not as big a selection. To have that many characters you could pick was always like a really cool feeling as a kid.
So another question I have in mind for you guys, I have so many questions today. I would like to know, like, what is your favorite, just one, consoles of your childhood's memories? I mean, example for me would be GameCubes, and the if the console is not there, maybe you can just maybe say it or not if it's on the arena, but I'm pretty sure we're gonna have it on a retro achievement at some point. But what is your favorite console? For me, I would stick with GameCube. I mean, I have way too much Pokemon games like Colosseums and Mario parties and Mario different Marios, and just the dynamic of this console, how it just changed my childhood on into a different level. I will put this into my favorite console ever. And I appreciate what happened, but I hope it would be on RA soon.
That's a really hard question. So when I think about myself as a child, when I picture myself in my head as a child playing video games, I picture myself with my little yellow Game Boy Color in my hands playing Pokemon, because that was such a huge part of my childhood. I took my Game Boy with me everywhere, and Pokemon was the main game that I would play on it. Specifically, Pokemon Yellow was the one I put the most hours in. And then later Gen 2, but Pokemon Yellow is the one I associate most strongly with my childhood. But yeah, I was that guy who took my Game Boy everywhere. I took it on the car. I would have the little worm light. Do you guys remember the worm light? You plug it in and it shines this light on the screen so you could actually see the screen, because the screen wasn't backlit. But the thing is, the light also like covers the screen, so you have to awkwardly look around it. But yeah, Pokemon was just huge to me, and Game Boy Color in general. It's a tough question, but that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, for me, it's I'm going to stick to my guns here and say that, you know, Game Boy being, I mean, a console or not, it's a handheld, but it's just got a ton of good memories that come with it. I mean, like I said, the Final Fantasies, the Marios, you know, Bendy mentioned the Wormlight, and I'm sure that some people remember the famous Game Boy camera that would take like black and white pictures and stuff, and it had like some interesting stuff built into it. I don't think we had the Game Boy camera. I know we had a friend that had the Game Boy camera that was doing some stuff with it as a kid, but I don't think we had it. But I do remember it a little bit, and I always thought that it was interesting, some of the accessories that they came up with for the Game Boy. And then I guess one other set of games that always brought back some good memories for me for Game Boy is the Donkey Kong lands. Donkey Kong 94, like Ben, you mentioned, but also all three Donkey Kong lands for Game Boy are quite a bit of fun. So, yeah.
Oh man, Bendy, the more you think about Pokemon, the more I think the same way as you. I don't know if I experiment the camera as you think, as you talk about, but I'm just thinking, like, when you say Game Boy and Pokemon and you link, like when you say the link cables, I just remember me having my little Game Boy going to school when I was a little kid, and I think I was printing my cables and was trying to find almost like a friend, and I just wanted to trade it, like, almost like when we're doing the game, I was trading my Pokemon away with my friend, and we just such a battle, and we tried to figure out how we go online almost with two Game Boy connected and just having a fight with your green screen and stuff. Oh my god, that was such a blast doing it when, oh my god.
So on the topic of weird video game accessories, I was just reminded of something that's just popped into my head, something I haven't thought of in years. Do you guys remember the DK bongos on GameCube?
I've never heard of them before, but maybe Draco has something.
Is it the one where you have is it the one where you have like almost like a drum stuff and you need to tap with your hands on?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a pair of bongos, like the musical instrument, and they made a series of Donkey Kong games on the GameCube that you could play with them. So there was Donkey Kong, I owned these. There was Donkey Konga, which was like a rhythm game that you play with the bongos. But the weird one was there was a game called Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, and it was a platformer, but it was a platformer that you control with the bongos, which sounds like it makes no sense at all, but I swear to you guys, it actually worked really well. So it's like you tap to the right to make Donkey Kong go to the right. You just hit right over and over. You do the same thing to go to the left. You tap both at the same time to jump, and then you could clap your hands to make Donkey Kong clap his hands, and it does stuff in the game. It's like an attack. And I remember I loved this game as a kid. It is such a bizarre, unconventional control scheme, but it's like, that is so Nintendo. That is Nintendo at their Nintendoist.
I really remember those games now. I think, I don't know if I remember correctly, but I think I have saw a game where you needed to, it was Donkey Kong, but I think it was a Donkey Kong Racing, where you need to tap like a lot into your drum thing, and you're going to try to the fast as you can and trying to finish those level. But that's pretty much my own experience I have play with, but I know I have played a game with the dance pads. I think it was like almost like a Mario GameCube games, and it was like almost like a DDR styles. It was really fun. But I have another question for you guys. What would be your most gameplay as a childhood? Like the most time you have spent on one specific game. So for me, I have two games in mind. My first off, maybe when, I don't know if you would believe me or not, but the first game I have played and I spent so much time on is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, or Mario Kart 8, because I did so many speedrun and stuff like this, like I mentioned. But Mario Kart is, I have over 2,000 hours into that single game, which I think it's pretty ridiculous to say, but yeah, that's pretty a lot. And my other games was close to that, I would say, was Pokemon. I mean, Pokemon, pretty much like everyone have spent so much time on it. And I think one time I have seen my games at 99 hours, but I'm pretty sure it's more than that. But yeah, so what is your most game you have played in your childhood?
I would say for me, one of them for sure is Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. And not because it's a long game by any means, because it's very short. But because I really, really liked that game as a kid. I always had fun playing through it. And one of the cool things about that game is that there are a number of secret stages. So when you first load into the game and select your file, there will be a number of the stages that you've unlocked. And it was always cool to try and find other stages. And I remember even later into my childhood finding like one or two unique stages that I had never unlocked before. Of course, nowadays I know every single stage, how to get it and how to unlock it and all that good stuff. But I think that was one of them. And then I've gone on and on about Final Fantasy, obviously, but that's what I played as a kid. I played the Final Fantasy. I think of all three of them, Legend 2, I probably have the most connection with, because that's the one that initially got me into everything. That's the one that my friend owned, and that kind of introduced me to the Final Fantasy series. So Final Fantasy Legend 2 for sure. And I remember getting stuck on different bosses and not being able to figure out what to do because you just had no idea how items worked. And again, you know, I had no idea where to look stuff up or even if stuff could be looked up, because this was still really, really early in the days of Game Boy and things like that. It's probably late 90s, early 2000s. Game Boy came out in 89, but the information regarding what to do on certain stuff was just not readily available. So I remember trying to come up with different strats for Final Fantasy Legend 2 for how to get past this boss. And I remember, I guess, one funny story I can talk about is there's a boss called Venus in Final Fantasy Legend 2. And there's obviously a number of different strats to beat her, but one strat that I figured out as a kid is there's these items called muskets. They're like gun type items in Final Fantasy Legend 2, and they just do like a flat amount of damage around that's probably has a, I think, a pretty small range, but it's generally always around the same amount of damage. But they were really expensive, so what you do is you just farm up a bunch of cash in that, in like a previous world from an 8 mob encounter, and then you'd buy a bunch of muskets and you'd kill Venus. And the problem with that was that later on down the road, because muskets were just kind of a flat amount, they weren't based on your stats or anything like that, you'd run into issues if you kept buying items that were just, you know, they do a flat amount, because the monsters in the following worlds or a couple worlds after would just destroy you. So I remember coming up with the musket strat and thinking, boy, I'm so clever. And then getting my party's butt whooped in later worlds because I wasn't focusing on the other items that are based on your character's stats. So as your characters get stronger, the items are going to get stronger as well with the character, rather than just the flat items like the gun items or the explosive items in Final Fantasy Legend 2.
You know, Draco, when you bring up the topic of what our most played game is, at first I thought, oh, it's probably a Mario game or maybe a Zelda game. But then I thought about it some more, and there's really only one answer for me, and it's a little unconventional for a retro podcast, but my most played game has to be RuneScape. I mean, MMOs count, right? They're games. I started playing RuneScape in 2005, and I played it for years. I've basically been playing it on and off since. I've had so many periods of time where I've quit and then I've come back to it, and then I've quit and then I've come back to it, but I've probably put in thousands of hours in that single game over the years. And I guess it just kind of goes to show that we all have such varied tastes in games. And I think that's one of the cool things about retro achievements too, is that like no matter what types of games you play, there's always something for you. And no matter what we grew up with, or whether we want to play something different than what we grew up with, there's always something out there, no matter what kinds of games you like.
Another topic I want to mention about this childhood. So do you have like any specific moment when do you feel you have some scare moment into some games? I mean, when you're childhood or when you experience some games, you have maybe sometime a game where it's very scary. It's like the first example I have is Yoshi's Story 64. I'm just thinking about that game when I was a child, and I was so scared. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's collecting all the little fruits, but every time I was close or something happened to this game, I was so scared. I don't know what happened into my experience about that game, but I was like, okay, this is way too much scary. I'm out. And the other game I want to bring here, the other game I want to bring is, I don't know if you explain. This is maybe why I don't like much Zeldas anymore, but I do love one Zelda in particular. It was the GameCube one, the wolf one. I don't remember the name. Oh my God, I'm so bad. But anyways.
Twilight Princess.
Yeah, Twilight Princess. That's my best Zelda I ever played, and I wish I can play it again, to be honest. That's the only Zelda I will play without. I will have a million fun. But the game I wanted, the second game I got scared on was the Moon of Zelda. Like, I think it was the other, not Ocarina of Time, but the other one.
Majora's Mask, yeah.
Yeah, Majora's Mask, where you see this little big giant moon trying to crash into this little poor town. And when I'm just like, how can you able to play this game? I'm just so scared. So I want to know, like, if you have some funny moment about scares games of you did played, and you maybe feel awkward when you like when you're like your youngers.
Dude, Zelda was scary as heck when I was a kid. I remember playing Ocarina of Time, and you play the beginning part of the game where you're a child, and it's like, oh, cool, you're a child. Everything's fun. The colors are bright, whatever. And then you turn into an adult for the first time, and you step out into the castle town, and everything is destroyed, and there are these zombie creatures everywhere. And when you get close to them, they scream, and Link is frozen in fear. And then if you let them get too close, they like jump on you and they grab onto you. When I was a kid, that was terrifying. And even today, it's still a little creepy. Like, it's crazy to me. When you consider some of the stuff in that game, like the Re-Deads, the bottom of the well, the Shadow Temple, how in the world did that game get away with an E for everyone rating?
Yeah, I remember that. That's probably one of the other games I played the most as a kid. We had Ocarina of Time. I have a lot of good memories of that game. And like you said, bottom of the well. Like the Re-Deads, and also I don't know the name of the monster, but the one that it like grabs you, it like four arms come out and it walks slowly towards you, and if one of the arms grabs you, and then it has like a giant mouth and like dark eyes, and it will just eat you and kill you. So it's like, oh man, I have a lot of good memories of that one. And then I remember for Majora's Mask feeling the pressure of time, because I remember the concept of having only 3 days to beat the game. Obviously you can rewind time with a Song of Time or whatever, but as a kid being like, I've only got 3 days within this game to do it was also kind of intimidating. And I really like how they did something really unique with it versus the original Ocarina of Time. I mean, both games are obviously incredible, but I remember feeling the pressure of wondering, oh crap, I've got to beat this, I've got to beat this within the 3 days, or everything's toast. This whole town is toast.
On the topic of Ocarina of Time, I actually had a really interesting experience with that game the first time I played it. So I remember, it was the holiday season, Christmas was coming up, and my dad tells me, hey, this new Zelda game is getting pretty good reviews. Do you want it? And I remember thinking, this is so silly, but I remember thinking as a kid, no, I don't want that game because the graphics look too realistic. I want to play something more cartoony, like Mario. And that is so absurd to think about, that at the time I thought Ocarina of Time looks realistic. But anyway, Dad really wanted to get me this game because it was getting such good reviews. Christmas comes along, and what do you know? Santa Claus brought me Ocarina of Time. But the weird thing is, Santa Claus also brought me a Game Shark. If anyone out there listening doesn't know what a Game Shark is, it's a cheating device, basically. You would plug it in, so you'd put the Game Shark in your N64, and then you'd put the game cartridge on top of the Game Shark. It just clicks into place. And then when you boot up your N64, you have access to this cheat menu. So I feel like I was deprived of experiencing Ocarina of Time the proper way the first time I played it, because the first time I played it, I had access to cheats. I could press the L button to levitate anytime I wanted. I had all the items and all the hearts from the beginning, and it was just this really weird, really unique way of experiencing the game. Thankfully, I eventually realized that even though the game is realistic, it's actually a really good game. And thankfully, eventually, I played it without cheats and I loved it. And, the rest is history. It's one of my favorite games.
So another moment I want to share with you, both of you and the audience. I mean, are you really like a competitive player on its own? I don't know, maybe we already mentioned it, but let me tell you a story. So when I was a little bit kid, I did go to an attraction parks because it was very close to you. And you see like a bunch of attraction where you can just like, I don't know how to describe it, but you can just like go there and having a ton of fun with people, and they have like a building where it's named pretty much into the center of this attraction part, Nintendo's. I swear to God, it's Nintendo's. And when I did go inside the first time I saw it was a bunch of video games, like mini stands where they have, I don't remember if it's like new games or old games, but they are like a bunch of games there. And I didn't wanted to do the attraction part. I just wanted to go into that building and just play video games. Yeah, that's pretty much me. So one the first time I did go there, I saw a tournament and I was like, oh boy, a tournament. But that was not an any type of tournament. It was Mario Kart Double Dash, my first tournament there. And I just participated for fun and I did win. Wow, I was surprisingly wow, and I went to press was like, oh my God, that's super amazing. So I really want to know if you're very competitive or how do you, it's like what are your child? Did you prefer like playing with friends or do you, I don't know, just speak about it.
I think for me, as a kid, I was somewhat competitive. I always wanted to, win at stuff. But I didn't really know about what kind of competitive stuff was out there. And obviously nowadays there's a million different things that you can be competitive on. But one of the things that you talked about that kind of brought back memories is, going to like a arcade or something like that. There used to be a place called Illusions, and I don't think they're in business anymore. I just looked it up really quick, but they're kind of like GameWorks or like Dave and Buster's, but they had a lot of fun games. You'd get the little card and then you'd put the card in the machine and you'd have a certain number of points that would be deducted from the card, and then you could play that game. So that's probably one of my best memories as a kid is, yeah, we used to go to this place called Illusions for parties that people would have, and they'd have like pizza and stuff, but yeah, you'd get these little cards and you put them in the machine. You'd have, 2,500 points or 3,000 points or something like that. And the game would take away 100 or 150 points from your card and you'd get to play the game. And that brings back a lot of good memories. So yeah, it was kind of like GameWorks. I know you would earn tickets and stuff like that, but they had more like, I mean, they had like Tekken's, they had a lot of fighting games. So that always brought back good memories.
Listening to you, Draco, when you were talking about how you saw the Nintendo game set up and you saw Mario Kart Double Dash set up there, and you said to yourself, I just want to play the games. I don't want to go to the attractions or whatever it was. It actually reminded me of a moment from my childhood. So I remember it was one of my friends from school. It was their birthday party, and they invited a bunch of us from school to a local, like a roller skating rink. And I remember at the roller rink, they had a few arcade cabinets set up. And one of the arcade cabinets I saw there was the Simpsons arcade game. And that's one of my all-time favorite arcade games. We didn't really have an arcade around me growing up. I had played that game once before, but it was like on a family vacation somewhere. Like it was somewhere not close to home. So when I saw that they had the Simpsons arcade game, it was like, I just wanted to play it. I wanted to play the Simpsons. I wanted to play the Simpsons. And I remember my mom being like, no, go out and play with the other kids, be social. And it was funny because I was like, oh man, do I have to? I just want to play the Simpsons arcade game.
Yeah, it's really funny that you mentioned that, because we were talking about going to like theme parks or places that have attractions and just wanting to play games, that brings back a memory of when I was a little kid. So we had like a Boys and Girls Club thing where they'd have an event and they'd, take everybody out to go to whatever, like a water park, or like Wild Waves is the name of a water park here, or ones in different parts of the state. And it was really funny because I distinctly remember this. I distinctly remember going to a water park, never putting on a bathing suit, being in the arcade the entire time, and just playing Aero Fighters literally all day, just putting tokens into the machine, and literally all day I was just playing Aero Fighters. And then they came back to get me at the end of the day and they were like, "Were you here? You didn't go on any of the water slides?" I was like, "Nope." So that was a good memory as a kid.
I don't know if you ever experienced that way, but in my little town, I got this. I was lucky, but I got like a little like store. It was like a place where you can just like take out the games, like I mentioned earlier, taking like a console or a game or movie, and you can take out for like one day or two if you want to, if you just pay the money. And my trip when I was younger is because my town was super small, I ride my bike. And then I just tried to see like every single place in my town. And it was like looking for trash cans. And I was just trying to sell them. And then when I got enough money, which was pretty easy to do when I was a kid, I mean, I spent that on candy or just like going to the stores like, "Hey, can I have this game for like a days?" And pretty much the entire, I got like two video stores when I was a kid. So I don't know if you both of you have the same experience as me.
Yeah, renting video games was actually a really big part of my childhood. For us, it was Blockbuster. I grew up in a small town as well, and we had a Blockbuster, and that was where I would rent video games. We would go there maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks, and I would just, my parents would get a movie for them to watch, and then they would let me pick out a game for like a weekend. And I remember, I have all these memories of games where I remember, well, I never owned that game, but I remember renting it. One example of that for me is actually a game that came up earlier today, Yoshi's Story. I remember renting Yoshi's Story. And if anyone out there isn't familiar with the format of Yoshi's Story, if you're just playing to the credits, you could beat the game pretty quickly. It's what, like 6 levels? So I remember I rented Yoshi's Story. I played the first 6 levels, and then I saw the credits, and I was like, well, I guess I don't need to buy this game. I already beat it. It's really short. I didn't realize there were all these other unlockable levels and high scores and going for melons and all of that. I just thought, as a kid, well, I saw the credits, so I guess I'm done with the game. And I feel like that was the goal when you rented a game. The goal was always, how far can I get in this game in this one weekend? I want to milk this game for as much as it is worth before I have to return it.
Yeah, we definitely had stuff like that. We had Hollywood Video. I don't think they're in business anymore either, but Hollywood Video, as a kid, was like the movie store growing up, and yeah, they had video games you could like rent. And I, speaking to your Yoshi Story experience, Bendy, I remember feeling extremely shafted because I did not know about all the unlockable stuff either and all the different levels and stuff. So like I beat the game, and even the last boss fight isn't that hard. So I remember thinking, wow, this is kind of like short and easy. I don't think we rented it. I think we had the, we had actually purchased the game, but I remember going through that same feeling you were going through of like, how far can I get? I've only got it for a little bit, and trying to be able to beat it. But yeah, Hollywood Video, we used to like rent horror movies from there and watch that. We used to rent like action movies. That was a long time ago. And VHS was the thing back then, and just all the movies on the shelves, and you'd find a movie that you'd seem interested in, and you didn't know if it was good or bad. You just read the back. I remember specifically reading the back of movies saying, okay, this sounds good, and then asking our parents if we could rent it. So, yeah.
So what is your, another question like that. So what is your favorite moment in childhood where you maybe did play with the friends? I mean, like, what do you consider like the best game you have played with your friends or parents, or I don't know? And I think for me, the only game I have played, I didn't have many friends when I was grow up. So it's rather like play like Melee, or I play Naruto Shippuden, or maybe a little bit of Mario Party. I know I have played a couple of games when I was like way higher in my age. I play with three friends into Mario Party, and that was the same group where I play Naruto. And I just remember how much like, I mean, I like Mario Party so much. I know the games, and they did not want to play with me either. I mean, I was just keeping get all the stars. I don't know how I get I was just knowing way too much the game, and my friend, they're just frustrated, but we have a amazing time with them. So what is your favorite moment with multiplayer games you have with your friend or family?
I have so many memorable moments of playing games with my friends, but oddly enough, one of the things that sticks out in my head the most is, oddly enough, is actually playing TMNT2 on NES with my mom, which is kind of weird, but it is such a fond memory of mine. So if you guys don't know the game, TMNT2 was it was a port of an arcade game on NES, and it was basically, an arcade style beat 'em up, Ninja Turtles. And I remember playing this game with my mom. It had co-op, and just the memories of every time we played, trying to get a little bit further in the game. We never did beat the game, but every time we played, we got a little bit further, and that was just such a wholesome family bonding thing that I have such fond memories about. And circling back to retro achievements, that's actually such a cool thing because I played that game on retro achievements for the first time in over a decade. Actually, more than that, probably more than like 15 years or something like that. It's been a really long time. And playing the game on Retro Achievements, I was actually able to come back as an adult and beat the game for the first time. And it just felt so good. It felt like closing the book on this childhood thing that I left open, that I left open-ended. I was finally able to get that closure, and that was such an amazing feeling.
I think for me, favorite multiplayer stuff would be Super Smash Bros. For the N64, actually. A lot of history there because we had that game and our friends had that game. So there was no friend being, there was no, I talked about that dynamic earlier about your friend had it, but you didn't. So your friend would just, totally whoop your butt. Because they played it every day. There was no, it was an even playing field because that was a really popular game. And I remember the feeling of having to unlock the four hidden characters was really cool. And I remember, yeah, I remember, I think that might be one of the games that I played the most growing up with friends, actually, because we had a lot of time in that game. And both of us, both me and some of my friends owned it. So we would all get a lot of practice in individually, and then when we get together, we would play that game a ton and just have a lot of fun with it. I think we would always do, one of my memories is we would always do without items though, because we thought they were cheap or something like that. So we would always play without items and just straight fighting.
So I would say like thanks both of you for talking with me today. I hope everyone have enjoyed it. Thanks everyone for have listening us for the first hour podcast. Make sure to follow us on youtube.com/RAPodcast and hit that bell notification to not miss any episode of us. Thanks to Shoot again and Bendy, and I hope to see you guys next week for another episode of RA Podcast.